Cook puts it down. Wright's kick is
good.
He snuck it inside the right upright. It looked like it was going to be right. He snuck it inside, and the Jags have tied the game 20-20. Cook puts it down. Wright kicks it up. The 53-yarder is
good, good, good.
Longtime friend of Sports Talk, Frank Frangi, who is also the voice of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Timing is everything. And Vince, you referenced it. It was the 53-yard field goal to tie the game. It was the 54-yard field goal to win it in London for Jacksonville. And you just don't know how many more times you'll get the chance to play a game-winning call for Jacksonville. Although I do think that when you look at Trevor Lawrence and how he's playing, and Mike Keith said after the Titans took on the Jaguars that he is the real deal and he hates to see him in the AFC South, he said there's a lot of comparisons to Andrew Luck, not necessarily one-to-one as a player, but as an individual, somebody that you just can't help but like, and then as a person, but also incredibly talented, remarkably gifted, and somebody who's going to be around for a long, long time. And he, as you just mentioned, Tua and Trevor Lawrence each had more than 300 yards passing. Pretty rare when you're talking about guys that are not yet 25 years old.
There's no doubt. And I think there's a lot more people, a lot more sentiment that Trevor Lawrence is going to be an elite quarterback than Tua. There's plenty of people, as you referenced earlier, that are questioning Tua. But to me, I started to hear some people when they were doing, all right, which rookie quarterback is going to be have the best career? I mean, everybody was getting carried away with the Mac Jones stuff and trying to mention everyone but Trevor Lawrence.
And yeah,
I guess
and Trey Lance was also.
Trey Lance, yeah. Absolutely. To me, he's the guy, and he was the number one pick for a reason. To me, he is a lock. He, like Lamar Jackson, is going to put in the work. He doesn't have the roster, the help around him, probably doesn't have the coaching that he's going to need to have great success, but he wants it. And you look at the difference Clemson is without that guy. That should tell you a lot, too. I have no doubt that he's going to be a regular All-Pro, and it wouldn't surprise me if he ends up with an Andrew Luck type of career. I think he's that good. And congratulations to everyone that had Matthew Wright as their kicker in their fantasy league to cash in on those 50-plus yard field goals.
Yeah, the one thing that I wonder about with Trevor, and I have concerns with him, is the same concern I had with Andrew Luck. And are you ever going to invest in protecting him? And I just, look, it's not going to work with Urban Meyer, whether it's today, tomorrow, or 3 years from now. At some point in time, he's going to be gone, and they're not going to win a lot of games as long as Urban is the head coach there. But I do wonder, with that franchise, are they going to invest in enough around Trevor Lawrence? Are they going to go spend a whole bunch of money, you know, $14 million a year on a Corey Davis or something like that, that you don't need those kinds of receivers? You need protection for your quarterback. I just wonder, are the Jacksonville Jaguars the team that will invest the way that the Colts never invested in protecting Andrew Luck and his career ended early? I get concerned about that with Trevor, but I do think that he's like Andrew Luck in that he walks in, can't miss, and there's nothing I've seen so far that makes me think he's going to miss.
Yeah, I do think that those are all very valid points, because that's exactly what led to the incredibly too fast snuffing out of Andrew Luck's flame. When you talk about they compared some of the injuries he took in the hits as Indianapolis's quarterback to being in a car accident. I mean, you just didn't have that line. And it came down to what you had was a horrible GM who, if he did try to shore up the ranks of the offensive line, didn't do it well.
No.
And I think they have an outstanding GM now, which is why I sure hope that they don't get impatient with Frank Reich, because you just haven't had the wins last year and this year that you hope to. I do think you see a difference in Carson Wentz. And I think that when you look at how they've gone out, and when you lose somebody who had been a longtime part of your franchise in Costanza, you come back with Fisher, even though he's somebody who's still rounding himself back into game shape, having missed the time with the injury he did with the Chiefs last year. I still think with Jonathan Taylor and what the Colts have, I think they have a young group of receivers that are pretty impressive, that T.Y. Hilton is now it's so weird to think of him as the veteran that just has the calming influence and perhaps can help them make the transition to being every down receivers and things like that.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And the Colts seem to be trending in the right direction, but I do wonder, because of how impatient people are in the NFL, if Frank Reich's head's not going to be on the chopping block if they don't get – if they don't win enough and challenge at least the Titans for the division this year, which I agree with you, let's see how this thing plays out for a year or two is the way I would handle it. If they can handle him the way that Pittsburgh has with Tomlin and show him that level of patience, I really think you could build something in Indianapolis.
By the way, T.Y. Hilton, one of the long list of notable NFL players that's out for today.
And he just got back.
Yeah.
Just got back. Jacksonville, by the way, is the only team that's off today out of the six that isn't 500 or better. And I'm wondering, just a quick thought, normally when you play your game in London, if you play a game in London, you have the option to be off the next week. We saw both the Jets and the Falcons do it last week. The Jaguars are off this week. The Dolphins are not. What would you do? Would you want that call to where you go ahead and take your open date after your trip to London? Or, I mean, Dolphins obviously need a lot of help because they are one of the most disappointing teams this year with just one win in six tries. Do you like them going right back into the swing of things, or should you try to regroup after you lost? Granted, they had to make their call before the season
started.
Yeah,
they did, yeah.
But I'm just wondering, would you have taken the week off? So many do.
Did they know they would get the Falcons this week? Because I think that might play into it a little bit of, oh, we're playing the Falcons. No, we'll play that one. That's fine. No reason to reschedule that one whatsoever. So
this is my choice, A or B.
I probably, if I'm on the East Coast, try to play it. Right, if I'm somewhere else, I probably know. But if I'm on the East Coast, I try to play that thing. I think if I'm going to be week four, week five. If it's early in the season like this for me, I would rather go ahead and play and try to get my off week later on in the year.
East Coast playing at home.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if you have to try.
No, you're right. If you're going to San Francisco the next week, that's true. No good. Yeah. Yeah, you're absolutely right there.
Yeah, and I'm looking to see where they get it. I guess it would be, they have a Thursday night game against the Ravens. So
after week 10, right?
Yeah, after week 10. So their bye week is in week 14.
Okay.
That's a long way away.
That is a long way away.
And guess where they're not going to be in week 14 in playoff contention?
Well, they do have the Jets and Giants sandwiched in between there.
Texans week before. They go bye week Texans, then Ravens, bye week Jets, Panthers, bye week Giants, and then bye week Jets after that. So maybe they can make a late run.
Yeah.
Could be.
It's a good way to pick up four wins. You know what I mean? Playing those teams late like that.
Potentially.
Yes.
Potentially. 10 wins last year. And goodness gracious, it's been a struggle this year. And they had Fitzpatrick that kind of laid the groundwork for a good start last season. Tagovailoa has been banged up a little bit and missed some time. You've probably gotten more out of Jacoby Brissett. You probably had to play Jacoby Brissett more than you would like to have because you wanted Tua to be your guy. I mean, you took Fitzpatrick and put him on the shelf last year just because you said it's time to put Tagovailoa in. Is there a more disappointing team than the Dolphins at this stage? Because, again, 10 wins right there in the thick of it until the last week of the regular season came up short, and now it doesn't look like they'll get maybe half as many wins as they had last year.
Yeah, there probably isn't, if we're just looking at it that way. I mean, there probably isn't a more disappointing team than the Dolphins right now. But I do think at the end of the day, the only difference really from where I thought they'd be versus where they are now is that Jags game. Mike, I question whether Tua is ever going to be healthy long term. And I hate that because you hate to see anyone's career get derailed by injury, but he's been hurt so many times at this point that it's hard to believe it's going to happen. I also think that coaching staff clearly didn't want Tua, and they want nothing to do with him, and they want him to go away. And there's a little bit of a disconnect between ownership and manage and coaching there. I think that you could work with Tua and build something. You were going to have to get him to stop playing sandlot ball because he just could go out and freelance and make so many incredible things happen at lower levels that you can't do that in the NFL, right? So I do think that they were going to have to work with him, and it was going to take a couple of years. I don't believe they're going to put the work in with him or want to put the work in with them because they think we're ready to win right now outside of the quarterback situation. But I also question whether he's ever going to get hurt. But, no, I agree with you. I think that the Dolphins right now are the most disappointing team.
Well, there's some competition. You guys are talking about it, so I looked through and checked off some disappointing teams, and there's some depth at that spot. Besides the Dolphins in the AFC, Indianapolis at 2-4. And they're supposed to be with Carson Wentz contending for that division. New England at 2-4. I mean, who saw them, losing to the Dolphins in week one, which is the Dolphins' only win, and then you know, with all the free agent moves they made, everyone thought, well, they'll contend with the Bills for the division. And then the Pittsburgh Steelers at 3-3. There was the expectation that the Steelers would be improved this year. In the NFC, Seattle at 2-4. I mean, I know they weren't the pick in the West because it's so tough in that division.
But you're right. No, Seattle at 2-4 is rough, and then injury at quarterback does not help things whatsoever.
That's right, especially when it's Geno Smith that's trying to finish games for
you.
Yeah.
And then, another one is the San Francisco 49ers. I mean, plenty of people picked them to win the West. So I think there's quite a few of those disappointing teams. But the Dolphins are right up there in the conversation for sure.
Yeah, 2-4, Bill Parcells, you are what your record says you are. But Colts played the Rams within three, had the Ravens beaten, and just couldn't finish defensively as their secondary disappeared throughout the course of that game. I mean, personnel disappeared.
Yes.
Not that they just stopped playing. They just they got hit and hit hard. And so I think they are a team that has the chance to rebound from losing four of their first.
And I think that the Pittsburgh's another team having won two in a row right now that maybe can get some things figured out.
Unless they don't get to play the Broncos. Yeah.
So I think that or Geno Smith, a quarterback, every week either.
Or
so,
Russell Wilson and the Seahawks.
Yeah. So I do think that Pittsburgh's a team that can bounce back. But you make some awfully good points about Seattle there in San Francisco. And really good points there.
But San Francisco this year, gosh, last year they were just decimated by defensive injuries. This year it's been offensive injuries.
Yeah.
And it's starting to smell like it's getting closer to Trey Lance time.
And now he's banged up.
Yeah,
because Jimmy G's back, but I don't think they could go with Lance if they wanted to. I think he's out today.
Okay, I hadn't seen that, but
if he's not out, he's questionable. Okay. I just saw that he might not be available.
Right. But, you know, Jimmy G he was supposed to be that stabilizing force that could keep Trey Lance on the bench and other than spot duty, but he hasn't been that good. So, my guess is when Trey Lance is healthy, if Jimmy G doesn't start playing better, that you might see him make that move. And real quick on the Dolphins, they can't run the ball.
No.
Which was no surprise because they thought Myles Gaskin was going to be the, you know, a top-level back. I didn't think so. He has 176 yards rushing. He's the 45th highest rusher in the league right now. He has only three more yards than Cordero Patterson running the football. So it's just he didn't have enough around him. Oh, by the way, they haven't drafted well on the offensive line.
Yeah, that's another one.
And they've had so many draft picks.
Yeah.
They still do.
Yeah,
and they traded Larry Tunsil to the Texans.
Yeah. I do think that they're – and for what they got back, I understand, right, like to trade Tunsil there. But I do think that one of the biggest fatal flaws we always see from Belichick disciples that become head coaches is they think they can scrap heap offensive linemen the same way that Belichick was able to, and it just does not work that way.
And running backs.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Now, all comes down to how you phrase it, but he might only have 176 yards rushing, but that's 528 feet.
Hey, his long is 18 yards, so that's a fair amount of feet also.
That is a fair amount of feet. But if you look at the Sunday
game.
Don't
ask me to run 54 feet.
Like the Sunday game, to your point about disappointing teams, Indianapolis and San Francisco is the Sunday night game.
Yeah, it is.
Because they were expected to not be in this situation.
Yeah, normally matchups like that are reserved for Thursday. Oh, really? I think I'm going to do a little laundry.
Yeah, that's a really great time to
Quickly, before we – I want to talk a little bit more about Miami because of what we referenced just for a moment last hour, and that is Deshaun Watson. But primetime player for last week, Will West.
Dak Prescott. It's amazing what he was asked to do in that game and the fact that he was able to do it and finish it off. Dak Prescott, 51 pass attempts there. And, again, I don't know that that's the best a strategy for Dallas, but, man, did he get the job done against New England.
Vince?
We were just talking about this team, Jonathan Taylor. Rushed for 145 yards on just 14 carries, 10.4 yards per carry. Two rushing touchdowns, including a 83-yarder. Man, this kid is pretty good and not a surprise. But if they can get that kind of productivity, to help Carson Wentz, the Colts can, as we talked about, can really finish strong.
Yeah, and I'm going to go with Lamar Jackson, even though, of course, he didn't set the world on fire with his day. He had 218 total yards, 167 through the air, 51 rushing, had one touchdown pass. But what he did do is that he is yet to turn 25 years old. He's got 35 wins as a starting quarterback, which gives him one more than Dan Marino for the most victories for somebody who has yet to turn 25.
Wow.
As a starting quarterback in the NFL.
That's pretty darn good company, right?
Yeah. And that's been something. It was a couple of weeks ago, Will, that I wanted to make Dan Marino my player of the week simply for the fact that there were like six different headlines of guys who either matched or broke or surpassed early season standards that he had set. And it was just a reflection of, and he gets left out of the conversation because he made the Super Bowl early, never got one. He just was an amazing quarterback, and while you do have so many things to say with the new wave, new age group that is right there, every now and then you just get a reminder that, boy, he was dominant, so dominant when he first started.
Yeah, he really was. I mean, he was fantastic throughout his entire career, right? He was just incredible. And so you're right. His name does not get mentioned when we talk about Montana, Elway, Favre, Rodgers, Brady, Peyton. He needs to be in that conversation, and he's the first name that's probably excused from that conversation, and he probably is excused a little too quickly.
Going back to the Dolphins, do you think, if indeed John McClain reported that it could be much sooner rather than later that the Texans and the Dolphins work out a trade for Deshaun Watson? The Texans had been pretty firm in what they were looking for, and that would be three first-round picks, Vince, and either three second-round picks or players that could be starters. It is a high price tag. My guess is, if we see a deal done, it probably won't be that to that level. But first and foremost, would acquiring Deshaun Watson be something that could fix Miami's season? Because, as you mentioned, you got to be able to run the football. And he, unfortunately, already knows what life is like behind an underperforming offensive line. But he also hasn't done much more than show up, do limited workouts. Would he even be ready to step in and play for the Dolphins if he had that opportunity?
Well, ready and able to play. Does John McClain think that he would be able to play if he's acquired by the Dolphins?
When you say able, you're talking physically or league-wise?
League-wise.
Well, McClain, so far, we asked Mike Keith about this week. He's not on the administrative list. So at this point in time, it's not an issue. But that doesn't mean – it could just be that the league was kicking the can down the road, that until – since he wasn't going to play for the Texans, they didn't have to go ahead and show their hand. Because we have seen reaction by the league to individuals where there were no charges that ever were filed, but they certainly sat them down for either a limited or a significant amount of time. And so I do think that it's still – fair to question, but Mike said he doesn't see any reason why he wouldn't play now because he hasn't been placed on that list, but that doesn't mean he wouldn't land on that list.
And then what happens if things go really bad once he's acquired by the Dolphins? Is there any sort of contingency that you could put on there?
That's a really good question.
I mean, to me, it's awfully risky. I get the Dolphins when – if this didn't exist, Deshaun Watson is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, period.
I think he's top three.
Yeah. But that's not the reality of the situation right now. So it's awfully risky. It's not like the Dolphins have this deep roster to just give up starters on top of that. I think he would end up in a Houston Texans situation now just in South Florida versus in Southeast Texas. So they have to be thinking long term for this. I don't think you could look at this and say this fixes our season this year.
This feels like a little bit like, and maybe a more extreme version of, do you remember Hugh Jackson trading for Carson Palmer, and he just leveraged the future to be able to try to win right now so that he didn't lose his job? That I can't help but feel a little bit that way with this. It's that, okay, is their coaching staff so concerned about the fact that they are going to get fired if they continue to screw up this year or struggle this year that they're willing to mortgage the whole future for a guy that might not play? I don't believe Deshaun Watson ever plays again. Maybe he does. Maybe something happens. That just there's so many accusers right now that statistically it seems impossible that he didn't do something, right? So when that all comes out publicly, it's not going to be pretty. And I just wonder if he doesn't say, I'm rich already, I'll just go away and live in Gainesville, Georgia, and never have to worry about answering questions about this. Because he's not been willing to answer questions about this yet. He's not been willing to, you know, he's not spoken out saying it didn't happen. He's not spoken out saying, I apologize if I made anyone feel uncomfortable. We've heard nothing. And he's from what I'm told, he's a really, really shy guy. So, and I'll just, full disclosure, my family knows his family. So he is a very shy guy, a very introverted guy, and I can't help but I don't think he ever plays again, so I think this would be a horrible move by the Dolphins for giving up any type of draft capital for Deshaun Watson right now.
Yeah, as it stands right now, it's all civil. Right. But there is the chance, and it could very likely be, a grand jury that gets seated by the Houston Police Department and or district attorney, however you want to, whatever the working part is. So it doesn't mean that it's not going to potentially cross the line and also be a criminal action. There's not going to be any depositions from those that have brought the lawsuits until after the season. He likely would not be deposed until February. So I don't for the life of me see how he could play this year, because, one, I think the backlash for Miami to trade for him would be huge.
Yes.
Just in their community. And I also think the league would really be taken to task if it said, we don't have any reason right now to say he can't play, just because it's the sheer number. Not that it would be any less shocking if it were 5 or 6 individuals that were doing this as opposed to 22, but again, the sheer number is just what is most startling in this case.
And I think it, not only acquiring him, I think would draw so much criticism for the Dolphins, if they played him and then, you know, he lost in civil court,
yeah,
and this came out to be truth, on that level, I think it would be even worse if they then had to pull him after they played him for a short period of time. It's just so risky. And then one other thing, for Tua's sake, I would, if the Dolphins pull that trade off, I'd like to see him go to the Texans.
I would agree.
Clearly, Brian Flores does not believe in him.
Yeah.
Unless Brian Flores gets bounced.
He keeps saying he does.
Right.
He's our guy.
Yeah.
Does it with a high-pitched voice. He's our guy.
but maybe he's not there, and if that was a situation and Deshaun, you know, Watson doesn't play, you'd like to have that guy.
It's interesting because with, again, the demands as to what the Texans have set aside and what they would really like to get before moving somebody like Deshaun Watson, we've seen it for years and years, whether it be the National Hockey League, Major League Baseball, and especially the NBA, but this might be a transaction, Will, where you see multiple teams involved. For the Texans to get what they want, maybe the Dolphins bring in another franchise or two just so, the moving pieces. There was one kind of 7 degrees of separation from Kevin Bacon where Tua Tagovailoa winds up in Denver. And I'm thinking, wow, what would be, I mean, why would Houston not want Tagovailoa back in return for moving somebody like Watson? But anyhow, I have no idea what it would be like, but we just don't see moves like that in the NFL. But this is something that could bring in a franchise or two, just to get all the moving pieces in place.
I could see that. If I have concerns as a Giants fan that my knucklehead franchise is going to be involved there. And I'm just like, because I would look at it and just say, as a fan, just stay away from that, right? Just run in the opposite direction for whatever's going on there with Deshaun Watson right now. And don't be involved in that because, like, if you're the league, one, if you allow this trade to go, this trade goes down, everyone gets criticized. Then if you just try, someone tries to play him, everyone gets criticized. And then when the league steps in, everyone gets criticized. Then whenever they finally does go to court and he gets deposed and things like that, everyone gets criticized. It's like you're inviting 5 problems by this trade going down instead of just riding it out, and then it is what it is with Deshaun Watson, whether he gets to play or not.
And if the league weighs in terms of punishment, they don't have to go by the law.
Right.
Their discipline standards are not based on just the legal system. We've seen
Correct.
That before.
Yes, exactly.
Ben Roethlisberger, right?
We're so late for a break, but I just, because we're talking about this right here, right now, if there were to be a trade, Vince, what are the chances that Deshaun Watson settles? And if he does settle, does that make everything go away?
I think
and the ability to play.
I think settling it would be a high percentage likelihood, I would think, at some point. And then to me, it just keeps it gray. I don't think it goes away. I think it's still kind of going to be lingering past him unless he just gets clear.
Hey, look, I think that he probably should and does settle. And I do think that then there's only one big criticism that happens. And the whole thing, I agree with, you'll have people who will always have a problem with him. Mm-hmm. You'll have people who say, well, innocent until proven guilty and move on. And I think a lot of people will have a lot of questions. But there are people who have done a lot worse that are still playing football in the National Football League right now.
That's true. Some are even in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
We'll get a break. We have, of course, this time of the morning where if you're not ready for Bad Take, we're sorry. It's coming up next. Stay with us. We're at Harrison's today in Clinton, right off of exit 122. It is a wonderful location. If you haven't experienced it, change that, because it is so close to Knoxville. It's just 10 minutes from Knox County, the Knox County line, to exit 122. Locally owned casual dining grill and bar, known for great food, served in a comfortable neighborhood atmosphere. The staff is incredible. They've got a great menu, all that and more. If you haven't been to Harrison's, come check it out. This is the NFL Report on 99.1, the Sports Animal.
Second and 13, Cousins shotgun, looking to the left, steps up in the pocket, he'll fade to the end zone for KJ, caught and touchdown! And the Minnesota Vikings have walked off on the Carolina Panthers. Kirk Cousins to KJ Osborne, a game-winning touchdown in overtime, and the Vikings beat Carolina 34-28. Let's go, Kirk! Let's go, KJ!
Sure, it was a different franchise, but you like that? Kirk Cousins. And I couldn't believe it. As Vince was doing the legwork that was necessary to make sure that we were able to showcase the wonderful starters that they have on the menu here at Harrison's, we could get Sam to re-rack this, yes, if you would like, to hear the dulcet tones of Paul Allen, play-by-play voice of the Vikings.
I heard it.
As Minnesota is a team that trying to shake off a slow start, now back to 500 at 3-3. We've seen the Carolina Panthers, which got off to a fast start, all of a sudden take a wrong turn, and they, too, are now 3-3. And, of course, you've had a team that was able to build a 3-0 start against nobodies, now dropped 4 in a row, as the Broncos already did. The great news is, going into today, tonight, and tomorrow, pressure's off. I get to actually enjoy watching football in the NFL, because my Thursday was wrecked, and we went from there. Although, I should say, side note, getting to see the incredible game that was Powell and Catholic, that softened the blow on the Broncos blowing right there on the Lake Erie. But anyhow, that's that. we make our way to the phones. Why don't we go ahead and check in with Bill, who joins us. You're on the NFL Report. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, John. How are you doing? It's good to talk to you again.
Well, great to talk to you. Hope all is well in your world. And I would imagine after Monday night's win over Buffalo, you can't wait to see what happens today against the Chiefs.
Well, I'll tell you what, some of the odds makers is not giving the Titans a chance. But I want to tell you something, John. The Titans always play better when their backs are to the wall. And their backs are to the wall today, and they are definitely going to play better. And they are going to beat the Kansas City Chiefs.
Well, they have won, if you take the playoffs out of the conversation, because they lost the AFC title game to them a couple of years ago, they've won four straight against Kansas City. Four in a row. And that was with Marcus Mariota. And they've also, I mean, what they did the last time they played was just amazing. So this is a team that has a plan. The question is, we talked about it earlier, can the Chiefs' defense that has struggled against the run do anything to slow down Derrick Henry? And is there anything the back end of the Titans' defense, Will, can do to compete with keeping the Chiefs in front of them and from Patrick Mahomes just simply wiping them out?
Do we remember a few years ago when Dallas just said, okay, we don't have the ability to do things to improve our defense right now from a draft capital perspective? So what we're going to do is use our running game to kind of supplement our defense a little bit and slow things down. I think that's the game plan for the Titans today, is that use your running game, control the ball, control the clock, and I think that can be a way, or the way, that the Titans can slow the Chiefs down a little bit, is just limit the number of possessions that they have in the game.
Here's the problem. Monty Hooker is out today.
Yikes.
Yep. So, yeah, saw that a little earlier from the Titans. That's a problem.
I'll tell you another
they're play
thing
hard.
They got to play hard. I'll tell you, John, there's one team that's really coming on right now, and I know it's making two people that I know of very happy, and that's Tim Irwin and Bob Hodge. And that's who? The Minnesota Vikings. And I know
Absolutely.
Those two are jumping for joy.
Well, and anybody that's a fan of Harrison
starting to
Smith,
come on.
Yes, they are. And, you know, that's one of the things that's a little bit different this year, because we've seen the same measurables for years and years, because it was a 16-game season, and then it became a 16-game season over 17 weeks. But it was still, if you started out 1-3, if you started out 1-4, your chances of making the postseason were almost zero. We have seen the exceptions to that rule, but now there's a 17th game. And so I don't think it's the same tried and true. So for a team like Minnesota that has such a veteran presence, as well as guys who have been outstanding performers on both sides of the football, I just think that you have just a touch more wiggle room this year than we've seen before, because there are going to be teams that have a chance to correct things, and teams that perhaps have to get further down the line with hopes of crossing a finish line that could be too far from their fast start.
And I also think that, if you look at the Vikings' full season, early on when you lose to the Bengals in overtime, and we're thinking, wow, what a bad loss there. Maybe that's not that bad of a loss to lose to the Bengals in overtime. Then you lose by one to the Cardinals the next week, and we're thinking, well, you've lost to the Cardinals and the Bengals. What's wrong with you, right?
You had a beat. Yeah. You missed the field goal.
Yeah, so I just look at that, and I think that it's that maybe they're better than we think they are. They beat the Seahawks the next week. They were just a touchdown behind the Browns. They, you know, So, again, I know they just beat the Lions and they beat a banged-up Panthers team. But if today will tell us something, I think, about the or next week will tell us something about the Vikings. And we'll see where they are coming off of the off week to be able to then play Dallas on Sunday Night Football. We'll know a lot about what the Vikings are going to be then. But they do get Cowboys, Ravens, Chargers, Packers in a four-game stretch coming out of their bye week, and that is not great for business.
Bill, we always appreciate it. Enjoy today's game as the Titans play host to the Kansas City Chiefs. And it'll be interesting to see if the take that we were given last week has a chance to hit the number, because somebody pointed out that their thought was that Geno Smith would have a winning record as the Seahawks quarterback in the time that Russell Wilson would be out of the lineup. They were in position to beat Pittsburgh. They didn't get the job done. They forced overtime, came up short, so now it has to be a win over New Orleans. If indeed they are going to be able to hit the projection by one, and the one and only Bad Take Andy, as Andy Sellers joins us now. Andy, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
How enjoyable was Monday night?
Oh, I needed that. I needed to see the Titans do that. The Titans' defense this year is good enough to keep you in a game. They have not shown that they're good enough to win you a game until that stop. And I want to see more of that. They're going to have to do it today if they want to win.
Yep. And so, what have you got for us today?
Well, I'm going to double down with Geno.
Doubling down with Geno. I
believe that they win today. If you look at his passer rating last week, he had a 99. He played well enough to win the game. He had the fumble in the worst possible time, and that ended up doing him in. But I still think that he can lead that team to a winning record, at least while he's in there. And they're playing against the Jekyll and Hyde team of the Saints, and so you never know what you're going to get out of that. So I like their chances there. I like two other underdogs. I like the Titans today simply because the Chiefs' defense has been so poor against the run, and that will allow the Titans, even if they fall behind, to stick with their offensive strategy and not take them out of the game where they have to just throw it down the field the whole time. The other game I like is the one between the Ravens and the Bengals. I like the Bengals to win this one simply because I think they're a better overall team. I like points in all of these games except for Seahawks and Saints. I think there's going to be a lot of miscues in that game. But I like the Bengals beating the Ravens and taking sole possession of first place in that division.
Anybody surprised that the Titans are an underdog?
No, I'm not surprised at all.
No, a little bit. Just look at the fact that the Chiefs just – now, they did a number on Washington, but we talked about Washington earlier. I think Washington is a solid team. I just don't think they're a team that you use as the standard and the measure. I think it's interesting, and questionable can usually mean that, oh, yeah, he's going to play. I wouldn't imagine that Kelsey's going to miss today's game, but he has had that Q next to his name for the better part of this week. The Titans, as we mentioned, you just mentioned, Vince, that they have one of their key defenders out. So I think there are plenty of reasons to like Kansas City's chances, but I also think the Chiefs have done a really poor job of getting out of their own way. I don't know that they're necessarily fixed by how well they played last week in beating Washington, but at some point we know that the Chiefs are going to be the Chiefs. But I thought that if the Chiefs were going to be favored, I wouldn't have imagined it would be four.
Well, I think there's such a built-up reputation bank there for the Chiefs that I think they're still riding it. They're expecting it's just a matter of time before they break out. It's just weird to see Patrick Mahomes have some of the decisions he's made, a few of the turnovers. Tyreek Hill, I think he was another one of those questionable guys. I do think he is going to go today. But the defense hasn't been – it's never dominant, but it hasn't been great. I mean, their leading sack guy is Mike Dana with three. I mean, where's Chris Jones? Where are those guys?
He's been beat up a little bit, but they, going into last week, they had allowed more points than anybody else in the league.
I do think that the Chiefs maybe have figured some things out, and we would see this in the past with the Patriots, right, where they'd start 2-2 at the beginning of the season. I'm watching Felger and Mass just to watch all the chowderheads lose their minds and say, let's fire Belichick now, and then they go on to win the Super Bowl. And so I do think part of the early part of the season with the Chiefs was just a little bit of that. Okay, let's tweak some things. We did have to rebuild and put in some new parts, and it took a while with the fact that there's not as much emphasis on the preseason now and shortened preseason. That it took a little while to get that going. The one big concern I have with the Titans here is Buffalo last week, Chiefs this week, short rest.
Yeah.
So I just wonder with that, as physical of a game as that was, look, I honestly would have had this like 7.5 if I was handicapping it. I think the Chiefs win, and I think that they roll. To me, it's going to come down – this one is going to come down to how disciplined can the Titans stay? If they fall two scores down, can they stay disciplined like Andy was talking about? Continue to run the football first. Run play action with Tannehill, because if he's out there throwing the ball 38 times in this game, you're going to get boat raced.
Real quick, the other inactives of the Titans, I'll get back to Andy. Chris Jackson, defensive back, Monty Hooker, linebacker Monty Rice, outside linebacker John Simon, obviously Taylor Lewan, wide receiver Chester Rogers, defensive end, Armani Bledsoe. So those are the inactives against the Chiefs today.
And I believe Farley, is that his name? The first-round pick for the Titans tore his ACL, so he's out. So you lose another person in that secondary.
Yep, Fulton had already gone to the IR.
Right. Yeah. They're really banged up in that secondary, and I think that's why you see the Chiefs as the favorite. It's just because they're a passing team and the secondary's hurt.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's why there's going to be a lot of points in this. I'm banking on they're going to drop some passes. They're going to do what they have been doing. Maybe some pass rush makes an open pass not be open because they have to run. So I expect them to be able to score points and score points – fairly easily. Can the Titans slow down how many opportunities they have with running the ball?
You can't help but think that there are times when you see teams take a specific approach to somebody. And again, the Titans have won the last four regular season meetings with Kansas City. So they have a pretty good idea. This is Mike Vrabel. I think it's his third regular season game against Kansas City. And I believe he is... Let me get that. Let's see. I had it right there. Yeah, he is 1-1 against Kansas City. Won the past three, not past four, past three.
Yes.
One of those games, to be fair, was against Mahomes, not Mahomes. He was hurt.
Yes.
So one of those, and it was a very close game. So one of those games, I'll say, Mahomes was hurt. He couldn't run. I think that gave the Titans the edge on that one.
Did you just call him Mahabal?
Yeah, he's Mahabal.
That was his biggest bad time.
When he can't run, he's Mahabal. So, yeah.
But I do like the way the team competes, because especially when they fall down by like 11 or 13 points, you just know at some point they're going to rally. And at sometimes they're up by 11 or 13 points, and the other team rallies. But I just think that it's – this is going to be fun to watch. because they're – but I getting to the point that I was making, to me, perhaps for Kansas City, as much as there have been concerns about who's available on defense and how the defense is playing, I think there have been a couple of teams that have shown a really interesting approach, and that is dropping their safeties deep, making sure that you don't get killed by Tyreek Hill's speed, and then being really physical on Kelce when he's trying to get off the line. The Bills did that, and they just wiped him out. I mean, Kansas City never had any kind of sense of rhythm in that contest as Buffalo went to their place and really put together, at that point in time, the biggest statement that we had seen, and them being as good as anybody in the AFC. And then, of course, they drop a second game, having blown a lead at home against Pittsburgh in game one, and now this loss against the Titans in Nashville. So I just think that perhaps there is a better blueprint into how you can handle the Chiefs, but it always comes down to there might be teams that show you a blueprint, Will, but you have to have the personnel to be able to execute.
Yeah, you do have to be able to execute that. You're absolutely right. And frankly, I think that's what a lot of the Chiefs issue this year is. They've had the blueprint, right, that just haven't executed, right? And so if they do execute and as they get better at execution, I do think that and part of this is just teams that go to the Super Bowl a lot, you're going to see this, because especially once you start paying your quarterback, because you're just going to have to cycle in new players. So
right.
It's almost like the first 4 weeks, you can't pay attention to it. And then you say, okay, now they'll get things figured out, and we'll see what they are from here.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers last year, perfect example.
Yeah.
I mean, they were struggling big time in the middle of the year, and then they got hot. Brady and Arians figured it out, and they went from there. So I think that's another reason why you don't get the overreaction to the Chiefs in the regular season.
Yep.
Okay, so quick thumbs up, thumbs down. Andy doubles down on Geno as the leader of the Seahawks, likes the Titans over Kansas City, and takes Cincinnati over Baltimore. Vince, are you on board with any of those?
No. But
then
not...
I like my chances.
Yeah. Well played.
None of them live up to the outlandish takes that we're used to. Outlandish take Andy, I think, is a little more entertaining.
Because we don't let him talk about superheroes or food or movies.
I think you're going to be right about the Bengals.
Home Alone.
I think you're going to be right about the Bengals, but I will. You're on your own on those others, buddy.
You know, the outlandish ones, Arthur Smith is still going to win Coach of the Year. Falcons are still going to be a playoff contender. They're still in it. Falcons get that win today. They're right back in that hunt. Bengals are going to finish second. Pete Carroll's going to get fired. They're all there.
I wasn't talking about previous bets.
he's got a pretty nice layout that is tracking his NFL.
Do you really
do
you have the bad take Excel sheet that we've got sitting over there? He literally has the bad take Excel sheet.
Wow.
Color coded and everything.
That's right. Oh, that's fantastic.
It's like the green checks that show you how many were completed out of his last 10, and the red ones that say, ooh.
Oh, that's
good.
Fantastic.
But anyhow. Andy, we always appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And should we go ahead and clarify, you prefer bad take individual as opposed to bad takes plural?
I guess it sounds better, yeah.
Okay.
It's easier.
Because your Twitter handle is bad take.
Bad take. Jersey's bad take. Barbecue sauce is going to be bad take barbecue.
That's right. BTBBQ.
That's right.
I'll just say, I was there when the bad takes name came into being. I was there for the Genesis. His name's Bad Takes.
Each one stands alone. So I think we can go singular.
As long as you call him Coach Deion Sanders, we're good.
Exactly. Oh, yeah.
We'll get a break. We'll be back with a final segment to hour number two of the NFL Report. Before we go, since this was your first time on the panel this year, Will, what did you go with as far as our appetizer, our starter here at Harrison's?
The beer cheese and pretzels. It's pretzels, beer cheese. Cheese, corn tortilla chips, spicy mustard that's with that as well. It looks absolutely incredible. Sunday's cheat day, so that means shove all the carbs in my face humanly confined. And we're about to do that right now at Harrison's.
That's right. Perfect time for a break. Final segment to hour number two coming up on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Allen under center. Sneaking.
No,
I don't know.
He did not make that.
I do not know. Let's see where they spot it.
He did not make that.
The Titans think they have stopped it. Let's wait. Allen tried to sneak. He got nothing, or so it appeared.
He got it! They got it! They did it! They did it! Yes! Not yes! Not yes! Hell yes!
It's Coach Mac's world. The rest of us are just paying rent. Normally, we don't double down when it comes to a game and highlights from it, but you had the 76-yard touchdown run by Derrick Henry, and then you had the, not goal line stand, but fourth down stand for the Titans defense as they turned away the Buffalo Bills to get the much-needed win. And now the Titans have the second-best record in the AFC, along with Buffalo, along with the Chargers, and the Ravens are setting the tone at 5-1, which the Bengals are also in that mix with a 4-2 mark. But we've got a lot to get to. We have just a few minutes left in this second hour. We've got another half hour. We'll remind you that after we step aside, it will be the Bengals and the Ravens that you hear on these very airwaves. So while we do have the time, we, of course, talk about coaches on the hot seat and whether or not it gets warmer or perhaps you move back towards normal, depending on what happens the week before. But since we are 6 weeks in, instead of which coach is on the hottest seat, what about this? Which fan base right now is probably more flabbergasted and simply exhausted with their current bench boss? Which group can't wait to see a change? I would imagine some in Jersey would be right there at the forefront.
I was going to say, I've got some family members who let them wear clip-on ties to funerals and weddings that are also season ticket holders that are not particularly happy right now with what's going on in the former Meadowlands. But, no, I do think it's the Giants.
But he's tough as nails.
He's fake tough guy Joe Judge.
He makes his assistant coaches run if they make mistakes.
I know. They had five veterans that just said no thank you versus play for them this year and hung it up. That are good quality veterans that have never been bad locker room guys that just didn't want to deal with, I'm going to let this guy who's never accomplished anything his entire life dog cuss me because of his ego. We've also have, you know, everyone that Tennessee's paying a buyout to, not named Butch Jones right now on the sideline. Jason Garrett, who frankly might be worse than Joe Judge about being a fake tough guy. Everything about that organization is a clown show, and this is a venerable organization, right? I mean, I think that when I think of the old school organizations like that, where we don't make big sweeping changes, it's I think of the Steelers, the Broncos, the Giants. Those are the three I look at that I expect you to make incremental changes, not big sweeping overreaction changes. They just are so stuck in Ernie Zampezi and his guys that they look, if anyone's ever had it, you're broken bread with Ernie Zampezi, you don't get to work here. You're going to have to look at it that way from now on, because they are just obsessed with making sure, because Ernie was fantastic for the organization. They need to blow everybody out. They need to start thinking new school. It's very similar to Tennessee, I think. One of the reasons I think Danny White and Josh Heupel are going to work at Tennessee is because they aren't. It's not an incestual relationship. The Giants are going to have to do the same thing. I mentioned to you off the air, John, I'd love to see them hire Lewis Riddick and Eric Bieniemy in the offseason and go that route. But I think it's the Giants right now. If you want to talk about who's finished, the Giants are finished, and Giants fans are finished, and we don't want to hear about all the injuries they're having.
Vince?
Well, certainly you start with the Giants, but I would add the Miami Dolphins with Brian Flores. Man, it's not just on him, but there are a lot of fans that are frustrated in their handling of Tua, their lack of development this year. There's a lot of Dolphins fans that are very upset. Now, obviously, there's not the fan base of the Giants, but I would add Flores to that group.
Yeah, and no surprise, but I think the Broncos are right there, lockstep, because I think what you've seen – in his first 2 years, I think you saw, and again, I think Vic Fangio has a fantastic football mind, but we've also seen time and time again at all levels, just because you're a great assistant coach does not mean you'll be a great head coach. And I think the Broncos have played awfully hard for him in the first couple of years. But I think this year they're continuing to see that he just doesn't get it. I mean, there's just a disconnect when it comes to the primary decisions that have to be made for a football team. And I think that while you do have individuals that together, that you have individuals that in their careers have been outstanding defensively, it hasn't translated to an unbelievable defense for the Broncos. They're middle of the pack. It's not really been the problem, but it's not near what you thought they would be. If you break down and look at the resumes for each of those that are playing defense this year, I just think that I think he's lost the veterans on that team, because they look at it, they look at what he challenges, how he challenges, and just how he manages things. He goes for it inside his own 30 last week against the Raiders. It didn't bite him because they wound up missing a field goal, but still, it was the dumbest thing because, again, your first half, there's just absolutely no reason. It's not like you were down 14-0. There was no reason that you had to push a panic button, but again, it's just the sheer stupidity. And I really hate that John Elway finds himself, he did hire him, so it's not that he's free from blame, but now you have people that are only looking at John Elway as a GM and or executive as a opposed to everything he's done for that franchise. It shows you exactly why you don't coach or become the GM for your historic franchise, because all you're doing is inviting people to say, man, I hate that guy.
That was my question. Fangio's not capable of doing this job, right? As a head coach, he'll go back to being a defensive coordinator. He'll be great at that. Is the fan base done with Elway, though?
Well, he has been kicked upstairs. I think he is team president, and I think right now with Peyton being their general manager, the guy they brought over from the Vikings, I can't wait to see who he brings in, because I think he has a chance to be a really good GM. But we are going to see. I just think at some point in time we will have the celebration of life for Vic Fangio's tenure as head coach of the Broncos. We've got another half hour of the NFL report coming up. Again, it's our privilege to be here at Harrison's in Clinton right off of exit 122. Stay with us on 99.1, the Sports Animal.